Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Introducing Writers. My name is Kim Smith and I'll be your hostess this evening. And I just want to make a few announcements before we get started with our show tonight. I want to let fans and listeners know this will be a call-in show, and if you want to call in and speak to my guest tonight, Stephen Zimmer, the author of Exodus Gate, I would love for you to. That number is 646-478-0319, and I will be letting you know that number again in a few minutes. Also, I am still on book tour with A Will to Love, and if you're interested in getting some information about my little short novelette, please visit my writing blog, where you will find all of the information for all of my stops. And that address is writingspace.blogspot.com. Also, if you'd like to see a wonderful trailer that was done for me for my first book, Avenging Angel, you can find that on my website at mkimsmith.com. And I do hope you'll go out and visit these sites. I work hard to keep them updated. Introducing Writers has a webpage at the addendum to the mkimsmith.com site. And you can go out and see some information there about this writer's talk show as well. So please do go out and visit the site and get all the information you need. Always feel free to drop me a line at my email address or at my address here on the radio show. Now, tonight, our guest is Stephen Zimmer, the author of Exodus Gate. And a little bit about Stephen. He's an author and filmmaker. His first novel, The Exodus Gate, was released through Seventh Star Press last March. Now, it's the first book of the Rising Dawn saga. The sequel is scheduled for March 2010 release, and the first book in a medieval fantasy series is due this fall. His film work includes the supernatural thriller modern fantasy Shadows Light and the horror short The Sirens, which appears on the Indie Movie Masters Festival of Horrors Volume 1 DVD. You can find out more about Stephen, about his film work, about his books, at his website, www.stephenzimmer.com. And I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to bring Stephen on right now. Hey, pal, are you there?
I'm there, Kim. Good to hear from you.
Hey, it's good to hear from you. I've been talking to you for a few weeks now about getting on the show, and I've been real excited to talk to you. I want to know how these conventions are going. You've been going to conventions left and right.
Oh, yes. I think that's the thing I want to do is get out there and, you know, meet people face-to-face. And conventions have been going great. I've been real fortunate in that every one I've gone to has been really well run. Hitting Mid-South Con, Con Carolinas, Hypericon, Demicon, in conjunction in Indianapolis is the most recent, and all of them have been wonderful.
You know, I've never done any kind of a con per se. I know that we have Mid-South Con here every year, but believe it or not, I found out about it after it was over, or just before it was to begin. I can't remember now, but I found out that it was coming, and of course I couldn't go. And then I met you, and I was like, dang it, if I had gone, I would have probably gotten an opportunity to meet you in person. So I look forward to doing that one day, and maybe you'll come back.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I hope to definitely be back in spring next year.
Sounds great. Now tell me what the benefit of going to a con is. You're a kind of a fantasy fiction writer, and these are fan cons as well as other things, right?
Yes. Some of them tilt a little bit more on the literary side. Some are more of a full media type con. All of them tend to be, you know, within the genre, that speculative fiction covers with science fiction, fantasy, and horror. And so, you know, no matter what, it's my crowd. You know, I just absolutely love going to these events and just meeting all the people there, whether, you know, filk players, you know, or whether they're, you know, doing costume masquerade activities, or, you know, whether they're, you know, people in my field, you know, it's publishers or filmmakers. I mean, we meet such a diversity of people who all have a passion for the genre. So for me, it's just an absolute blast, and it's a good way for me to, you know, introduce my work, being that I'm a small press author, and I get to meet a lot of fantastic, you know, publishers and authors, you know, while I'm out there.
I had never heard of Seventh Star Press before until I met you, and I was curious to know if maybe you had met your publisher at a con.
Actually, I had the kind of lucky opportunity to to be a part of a new startup press, and it's anchored around my editor, Amanda DeBoard, who I absolutely think the world of. She's a fantastic editor. I work really well with her. And then also Matt Perry, who does the production and layout for Seven Star Press, and he did the artwork and illustrations, which I hope you might have had a chance to look at some of those things. But for Exodus Gate, he did a lot of illustration for it. And so I had a chance to kind of be at the forefront of the new small press, which was great. And then, you know, like I said, it's going to be expanding. There's a new horror anthology that's going to be coming out with a multitude of writers on it, and a novella from a Nashville writer, which I'm not yet at liberty to publicly announce. But yeah, but there's definitely some projects that are going to be coming forth. They're moving forward smart and slowly.
That's exciting. There is nothing more exciting to me than finding a new publisher on the ground floor level and getting, you know, involved with that whole process. I mean, meeting the authors who build that publishing house from the ground floor up. I mean, you're like considered a founding author, you know. You're the one that helps build the publishing company, literally. And so that's really exciting. It's exciting for me as a reader and a writer, but I know it's just thrilling for you.
Well, they knew I was crazy enough that I'd go out and push myself. So I guess that's kind of the thing that they did know for certain. You know, whether the book is well received or not, you know, we'll see. But you know, they did know. You know, I will get out there. So that's one thing I could offer them.
Well, tell us a little bit about Exodus Gate. This was your first book.
This is my first novel. I have been writing developing the series, and then the other series that you mentioned earlier since the mid-90s. So, I mean, they've been in development for quite some time. It took me a while to get to the point where I thought they were good enough to actually show to an editor. And you know, they went through many overhauls and so forth. But, yeah, but it is the first release novel in the Rising Dawn saga. And and everybody says that it's absolutely modern fantasy, and I should stick by that definition, which basically means it's epic fantasy, but it's just set in a contemporary setting. It just doesn't fall into, like, you know, what is now defined as urban fantasy or something of that nature. It definitely has a kind of broad epic kind of feel that's, you know, more commonly found in the medieval type, you know, series.
Right. That's exciting. I don't think I've read anything that would be considered modern fantasy. Not epic fantasy. And so that excites me.
Yeah, it's a blend. I mean, I get that in some of the reviews, where, you know, they say it's got the big fantasy elements, but also blends in techno thriller and sci-fi elements and things like that. And you know, I just simplify it and just call it modern fantasy. But you know, that's the way I call it.
Well, that's neat. I like that. You may have created your very own subgenre.
Well, maybe not exactly, but you know, we'll take it.
Okay, so tell us about The Exodus Gate. Give us a kind of an overview of what the book's about.
Sure. People that are familiar with Coast to Coast AM, you know, the overnight show that covers the UFOs and paranormal stuff, and, you know, now with George Norrie, but previously mainly with Art Bell, I always wondered what it would be like to be a guy that had a show like that, and what kind of world could you possibly come in contact with being at the epicenter of all those kind of guests and experts and all those fields. So I took a character named Benedict Darwin, and he's in a parallel world that's very close to ours, and there's a reason for that, because parallel states of existence do factor in later in the series. But he comes across a virtual reality simulator, which is actually much more than just a virtual reality device. It's given to him mistakenly, where he borrows it from a guy that's trying to ingratiate himself to a celebrity kind of situation, and he thinks it's kind of a game, and you know, he's into, you know, different things, and he wants to try it out. But then he finds out that it's much more than that, and it's actually it's a gateway to transcend time and space, and it's been designed for the specific purpose of bringing back the Nephilim, which, as you know from legend, are the offspring of angels and humans. And in my book, they are the source of all of today's mythological monsters. So they take on a great number of forms.
I was just going to your website, and your website has music.
Yes, yeah, actually, the song Paradise Lost, I think, by Symphony X.
Kind of timely. It was playing when you were talking. I was like, oh, that's good. Yeah. Let me get out of it for a minute.
Oh, that's all right. But it's a... But yeah, but the Nephilim in my book, yeah, they take all kinds of different forms. It's unpredictable what the union of a fallen avatar and a human will be, and some of them come out quite monstrous. Others are, you know, giants, and you know, and so basically, they were destroyed in the Great Flood, according to legend, and that's or even referred to as the Anunnaki and some Sumerian Babylonian mythology. And but in my book, they are trying to break through that kind of time space gate to bring him back into today's world, and so Benedict basically has to go on the run and try to keep the device from falling into the hands of the parties that are wanting to bring back these creatures.
Wow, that's exciting. It's almost like an adventure novel.
Oh, once it hits stride. I mean, the first book, has the burden of any first novel in a series. You have to kind of set the parameters and the kind of world that it's set in, and being that a lot of the action eventually, and even in this book, takes place in spiritual realms, there's quite a lot to do in that regard. But once it starts hitting its stride, it definitely is a kind of a quest epic type of feel, and really kicks into gear, especially as it crosses over the first book into the second book.
Wow. And this is a part of a series. How long is the series planned?
The way Amanda's editing them right now, we're kind of projecting about 5 to 6 books. We don't anticipate it getting any larger than that. Probably, most likely 5, but probably about 6 books.
Wow, that's exciting. It's like your whole career stretching before you. Are you excited? That's fabulous.
Well, mainly just relieved to be underway, to be honest, because it took so long just to get to the starting gate. And, like I said, it took over a decade just to get to the starting gate. So when you go through something like that, it's more of a sense of relief. And, you don't know how people are going to receive it necessarily. So, it's kind of like, you put it out there and you have to stand back and wait. And, wait as, the judgments start coming in.
Right, absolutely. Well, how's the writing life been like for you? I mean, we know it took you a while to get to this point, but did you have a lot of contact with other publishers or maybe agents? Did you go through the whole I've been rejected a zillion times scenario?
I've certainly faced my share of rejection in both film and literary side things, but my path, I didn't focus as much on an agent when I was deciding to go at the small press level. I find that maybe more, in my opinion, more necessary for, working with a big publishing house, and not quite as useful, for being, on a small press level. And so I wasn't pursuing an agent I wasn't as worried about getting an agent, when it came to, a small press type of arrangement. And, I have worked with agents on the film side, however, but, so I do have experience with that. But at this point, no, I haven't worked with an agent yet.
We're going to get to that film stuff here in just a few minutes, but I wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to talk about your book and that kind of thing first, and also to kind of blurb your publisher, since it is a new publisher, kind of give us an idea, of what working with the small press has been like.
Oh, great. And I just want to say small press is, increasingly where I think a lot of innovative material is coming from nowadays. And the reason is logical, because the big houses are paring down their rosters. They're releasing a lot of mid-list authors. They're shrinking the size of their catalogs and rosters. And so basically, small press is where a lot of the new growth is. And I mean, there's some fantastic ones. I mean, like you mentioned earlier, when I'm out on the road, I've encountered some great ones, like Meadowhawk Press, where Jackie Gamber, is writes for, and Apex Publishing and Kerlock Publishing and Sam's Dot Press, where David Blaylock with Ascendant is, and then Yard Dog Press, which has one of the definitely most entertaining people of all, Selena Rosen. I mean, she's one of the most fascinating panelists I've ever watched. But small press is absolutely wonderful, and the ability to work very closely, with your company, in a way that, where you don't feel like you're, the small fish in the big pond. I think that's definitely a benefit that I've seen.
Exactly. I have to agree. My publisher is also a small independent press, and And it does make a world of difference. You feel like family. You know, you don't feel like a face in a sea of faces, and or a book in a sea of books, in other words.
Right.
So I have to agree with you. Going the small press route has been a real benefit to me, and I appreciate everything that my publisher and the editors and the cover artists, everyone who works for Red Rose Publishing are phenomenal. And I just love them, and I just appreciate them, and I'm just publicly saying that if you're interested in going the small press route, you have got my pat on the back. It's a good way to go.
Yeah, and you also actually get a say on your cover art, too, which is not always the case with big houses. Yeah.
That's the truth. You absolutely do get to say whether you like it or don't like it. The novelist that's just come out, A Will to Love, I was just not knowing what to say. I didn't know what to put on the cover of that book, and I told the artist, I said, you know what, let me just give you a little bit about the book, you know, about the story. Let me give you a little excerpt, and you tell me what you think. And she said, I'll take it from there. And so help me, Hannah, she sent me the most beautiful cover I think I've ever seen. I was just tickled to death. She knew exactly what to do. It was perfect. And so you sometimes have to trust your artist to know what to do for you.
Oh, definitely.
By the way, guys, this is a call-in show, and you're welcome to call in and speak to Stephen tonight about his book or about films or about writing or about small publishing or about cons or about any of the things that we're discussing. We'd love to talk to you. The number is 646-478-0319. Okay, now we want to talk about film stuff.
All right.
I'm fascinated because we are my husband and I have our own video production company, and we've done some independent work for others and for ourselves. We actually were in a film festival that's held here in Memphis every year called the Indie Memphis Film Festival. And so that's a kind of a subject near and dear to my heart.
Oh, well, I've just changed my hat, so now I'm wearing my film hat. So.
There you go.
but yes, filmmaking is definitely something I have a passion for. And, so far, again, it took me a while to get to the point where I had my first, released project, which was late last quarter of 2008 when Shadows Light came out. And then it subsequently got a 90-day window on all the video on-demand services on a lot of cable systems across the country, kind of like the on-demand kind of services. And so that actually, has turned out to be a tiny project that's had some growth. And then since then, like you mentioned, I did do The Sirens. It's more of a straight horror genre type 30-minute short. And it's on a new DVD series called Indie Movie Masters, which I'm definitely passionate about because it's a series that's by indie filmmakers for indie filmmakers. And we're working with a great new distribution team to develop it with cable and with video on demand and DVD. And eventually, we're going to have a Blu-ray line and so that's gonna be a neat one. That's gonna hopefully do some good things for a lot of different filmmakers all across the country and even internationally.
Excellent. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So, yes. And we're actually getting ready to do my first medieval fantasy short. We're in development on a segment of a segment of David Blaylock's novel Ascendant, which is a fantastic, fantastic novel, which I highly recommend. And it's got a great scene involving a fight between two champions that are, instead of two armies fighting, they're going to settle it in single combat. And we're actually going to try to take on that scene. And we're looking even through the professional mixed martial artist ranks right now for a couple of guys to cast in those roles. And should be getting into that this fall. So if you can get up here, we can get you a part as an extra.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. How fun is that? Well, if you need any extra cameras, let me know. I'll bring mine.
Absolutely.
So tell me, what exactly goes into doing an independent film? I know this, but, of course, all of our listeners do not. So we have to kind of tell them things that we know but they don't. So kind of give us an overview of what an independent film entails.
Well, you have to be masochistic because you're working in a situation where, you have very low resource. I mean, the budgets for Shadows Light were very small, and similarly for The Sirens. So you're always working in a low budget type environment, but you can always plan well, you can always rehearse, you can always pay attention to detail. And so, you have to end up sometimes wearing more than one hat. You know, like with Shadows Light, I had to, you know, serve as a producer as well as, a, you know, I was also writer-director. But, you know, and then ended up having to, you know, run whatever errand needed to be done. So it's kind of like you have to be everything from the janitor to the CEO, you know, in terms of, running a good operation, I think. But it's, you know, it's definitely comprehensive, more so than a large budget film, which tend to be more strictly compartmentalized.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. We did an independent film, and the co-writer and I wrote it over the course of about a weekend and a half. And we put it in form, we cast it, we shot it, and we had it pretty much edited and ready to go for the film festival within a month.
Wow.
We really moved fast.
That is fast.
Fortunately, we had a lot of friends who were willing to pitch in and help us.
Right.
Both of my kids are actors, so we had built-in acting ability, and they were involved in a lot of dramatic work on their own. And so we had contact with a lot of people who could provide us with talent. So we had a lot of help on that the common person might not have. Of course, we have a production company, so we have cameras. We have all the stuff you need to do it with. And so we didn't have to hire any of that, which saves us a great deal of money. But I tell you, when you have to go and buy food to feed that gang, it gets expensive.
Right. Actually, that's the most critical thing, even on a small project. I mean, because it's kind of like, you know, the old adage of an army travels on its stomach. I mean, that's the same thing in the film world. You've got to keep the crew fed. I mean, that's the number one thing that they could cause, you know, that definitely is, you know, could cause a breakdown if you don't do it well.
Exactly. You are so right. They get kind of surly when you don't throw them a bone every once in a while.
Yeah, we actually threw them bones with chicken on them still. So, yeah, we were well received. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would probably be a really good idea. Give them food on the bone.
Yeah, yeah. So we did throw them a bone with chicken still on it. So I'm proud to say.
So have you got any other film work you got planned coming up? Are you working on screenplays, any of that kind of stuff?
Oh, definitely. We are right now. I'm working with a guy in Northern Kentucky. He's got a feature. I've got a feature, and we're trying to package them for investors. And we're hoping that, you know, that we can move up a little bit, you know, in terms of level, you know, because we, like I said, we worked on a very small budget in the first one. We'd like to have enough resource to make a theatrical grade, you know, film on our next major project. And so so he and I are working together to actually offer a two film package, and that's in development. And, you know, and I'm always sketching out ideas and things like that, but that's the one that, you know, I guess you would say the large project that I'm kind of, you know, focused on. But, you know, of course the economy is tanked right in the process of getting all this together, so it's going to be a tough road, because I know a lot of purse strings are being tightened. But
oh, yeah, and that really stinks, because isn't it terrible when timing does not turn out the way you want it to?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, even with Shadows Light, it took us a year and a half, almost 2 years to finally secure a distribution deal. And then once you secure a distribution deal, I mean, it takes forever to actually start receiving, you know, the money back. And so, you know, I mean, it's an agony of patience. It definitely is. I mean, the whole process is very, very much hurry up and wait.
Mm. So did you take any of your work to film festivals, or is that even in your plans at all?
Interesting you should mention that. We're actually going to be screening both The Sirens and Shadows Light, and then the companion film to The Sirens is another one called Murderer, which is actually directed and written by Matthew Perry of Cineline Productions, who does a lot of the art and special effects stuff with me. And we're actually going to be at the Louisville, Kentucky, mid-August for the Fright Night Film Fest, which is actually the third largest horror film festival in the entire nation. It's the only ones bigger are in New York and Los Angeles. And last year they had over like 5,000 attendees, and it's really built up. So So we are really excited about that. And because Ken Daniels, our director, notified me that our films are going to be screening, and he's added me as a guest panelist, both for the book side and in film. Because he highlighted the fact that I was an author too, which I definitely appreciated. That he mentioned that. And we're actually going to be hitting that one in mid-August, and that's the big one on our calendar for screening right now, because that's a really prominent event.
You know, looking at your website, I see where you've had all your different little places you've been, your cons and things that you've done, and even this radio show, are listed on your website as, you know, appearances kind of thing.
I'm appearing with you right now. Yes.
You are appearing with me. How do you manage to do that? It's almost a monthly thing with you.
Travelocity helps. I mean, try to find the best absolute deal possible. And the other thing is as being willing to drive crazy hours sometimes so you can cut a night off of a hotel stay. I mean, I'm definitely constrained by the independent world's small budget resources. So it's not easy at all. But if you plan it well enough, they're doable. I mean, it's just something where I, definitely have to sacrifice across the board, in other ways, just to be able to do this.
Are most of them on the weekend?
From what I've experienced, yes. Most of them tend to be weekend events and the kind where, you can, if they're, within at least 3 hours, you can go up like on a Friday afternoon and then return on a Sunday night. There's been a few that have been longer, like DemiCon up in Des Moines, Iowa. So that was about an 11-hour haul for me. That was a tough one, but it was a fantastic convention, so it was well worth it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've impressed me with the amount of places that you've been and the amount of places you still have to go. I mean, you should write a little pamphlet or a little booklet and sell it to people on how to promote your work on a shoestring.
Well, I've actually told some panel directors that I would do a panel on that, because I'm acquiring, more knowledge about that as I go too, because I'm the kind that never thinks that I've learned enough, and so I'm always learning new things and as I go, and I have picked up enough things. I think I could actually put together a useful little presentation for one of the events.
Well, I think you'd have some good information to share with people. I'd be interested in reading it myself, to be honest, because I'm doing that very thing myself, trying to promote on a shoestring. It doesn't get any cheaper than free.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it doesn't cost anything to promote yourself on other people's blogs and websites and to go out and to just open your mouth and talk about your work. So
sure.
Free is always good. Well, listen, Stephen, it has been a joy having you on the show. Time has just flown by. We're down to about 2 minutes left of the show, and I'll give you an opportunity, to promote your books, promote your screenplays, films, and all the great and different things that you do. So the floor is yours. Promote, promote, promote.
Well, I just invite people to come visit, the site with the Exodus Gate, 7thStarPress.com, and you can always find it through my website at StephenZimmer.com. And, there's a sample chapter there that covers about the first 60-some pages of the book, so you can download it and check it out. And we are available on ebook and Kindle, and it's a really nice trade paperback. People that have it, I think, could vouch for that, which has 15 illustrations in it. It's a big book. It's about 580 pages total. So it's a nice book with some extra content in it. And, I hope people come and also find me on Facebook and MySpace. I love hearing from people, and I can be found at either place at SGG as in George Zimmer, Z-I-M-M-E-R. So Facebook or MySpace.com/SGZimmer. And, feel free to connect with me or, check the website out, and it's always kept up to date. And, we'll have information on the upcoming medieval book that's coming out this fall, kicking off the other series.
Well, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, and I hope you'll stay in touch with me. I'd like to try and get together with you sometime when you're in town for a con.
You got it. I definitely will be coming back.
We're Facebook friends, so I know we'll be chatting.
Absolutely.
And listen,
and thank you so much for having me on Introducing Writers. I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I do hope you'll come back with subsequent books in the series. We'd love to have you anytime.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll be talking to you later then, Stephen. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And that'll do it again for me on another issue of Introducing Writers. Our guest tonight has been Stephen Zimmer, author of The Exodus Gate. And you can find Stephen's website at Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Zimmer, Z-I-M-M-E-R.com. And I do hope you'll go out and visit my guests. And as always, I want for you to go and visit all of my guests and pick up their books and their work and learn some great new authors with some great new works for you. Tomorrow night, I will be entertaining the fabulous. I have 10 seconds. I will talk to you later. Goodbye.